Gracious Father in heaven, we have sung the words. Lord, I pray that you would impart them on our hearts. And Lord, as we continue in our worship, I pray by your Spirit that you would touch a life today, whether in person or online. Lord, may the gracious good news of Jesus Christ touch a heart today. Move them closer to you today in some even small steps. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a good God, that your mercies are new every morning, that you touch us in ways that nothing else can, that you are our Savior, our Lord, and the one with the promises of hope that we can depend on. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a seat. It's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection. And youth have a study today. So the youth have the opportunity to go to their study as well today. Okay? Yes, you're witnessing the second Exodus. Yeah, wow. Awesome. Just a reminder that after the message, we're going to segue into communion. And once again, we take a benevolent offering. I can't tell you just how many families are blessed through this church because of our benevolent offering. I just want to thank many of you who contribute to that and help us to help people in very practical ways here at Village Green. And also, we have an open communion here at Village Green when we do the communion service. If you're a believer here this morning, a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are invited to participate with us in communion. So that's great to have you here this morning. All right, we've been talking about the wilderness. We're, you know, part four of the wilderness, and we've used this imagery of the wilderness as this kind of metaphor for those moments in our lives where we feel lost, disconnected, where we feel like we're not just whole in any way, shape, or form. And we've said many times that the wilderness can be all kinds of things. It can be an emotional wilderness, a relational wilderness. It can be, you know, social wilderness. It can be a wilderness even spiritually, okay? Now, as you know, before we kind of get into the meat of today, I think there's only three really potential outcomes to a wilderness experience. And we've probably all, in one way or another, either known somebody who's had this kind of outcome or, you know, we've experienced ourselves. The first kind of outcome from a wilderness experience is that you learn absolutely nothing. In fact, you're just bitter, angry, you're questioning why, and you just want to take that wilderness experience and never, ever, you know, have a second look at it, okay? That's one outcome of wilderness experience. And I personally know people that, you know, have learned absolutely nothing from what they just experienced. And it's like, oh, okay? The second outcome of a potential wilderness experience is you learn something about life and you learn something about yourself, significant, you know? You find out that life really is unfair. If you haven't been taught that, then take that away today. Life is unfair, okay? And that, you know, those are really powerful lessons that you can take away for yourself. I've just learned something about if I ever get caught in this situation again, I know this is not a good, healthy place for me. Now, the third outcome of a wilderness would be that you learn something about life, you learn something about yourself, but more so, you learn something important about God. And I believe those are the at least the wilderness experiences that have the most fruit after them, is that you learn something valuable about life, you learn something valuable about yourself, but most of all, you learn something valuable about God. And many people I know have said, you know, I don't know how I would have survived what I just went through if God wasn't there. And this is kind of the ingredient that the Bible talks about all the time. And it's an ingredient that the Bible kind of throws out to us in a consistent manner and warns us not to negate it or not to ignore it or not to or to push it to the side. It's one of these really, really important things. And this important thing that I'm going to talk about this morning is this really simple principle called faith. Faith is such an important ingredient in this life, And that this is one of the reasons why I believe if we get attacked in our lives, it's always, almost always, a direct or indirect attack on our faith. Any one of us who experience, you know, faith know that we're going to get attacked either indirectly or directly to something about our faith. That is one of the things. And the Bible consistently doesn't just use faith as kind of like this nebulous concept. The object of faith is really, really important. The Bible talks consistently about where we should be placing our faith because it is such an important thing to God. Now, I've said this many, many times. If you've been in this church any amount of time, you've heard me say this, you know, ad nauseum. But faith is the most important thing to God. Not your accomplishments, not your position, you know, not the things you actually do for Him, but faith is the most important thing to God. And even, I think it's 1 Peter that says, faith is more precious than silver and gold. And in that time period, you're talking about the most valuable things that people would have ascribed to. But Peter's making it very clear. When it comes to God, you can, you know, gold is what God lines the roads in heaven with. So He's not interested in any of that. He can create all of that stuff in a snap of His fingers. But what He is interested in is your heart aligned with His in faith. That's what He's interested in. And you know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately. And me saying I do a lot of reading is kind of like saying, anyway, I do a lot of reading. And what has attracted me lately, there's all these articles that I have in certain newsletters that I get all about how to survive a crisis or what to do when difficult season enters your life and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm reading the 10 ways of managing your circumstances. And I'm reading all of them, and all of them are very human-oriented. None of them say anything that I've read recently about faith. Just buck up. Just find resilience. Find your deeper self. Ask the universe for forgiveness. If you have any idea what that even means, can you help me out, please? Last I heard, if I was caught in the universe, I'd die. I don't know about you, but, you know, somehow I need oxygen, okay? Yeah, somehow. But nothing about faith. So we're gonna kind of do a deep dive today, hopefully a deep dive, in this really, really, really important topic of faith. And we're going to go to the one book that talks about faith more than any other book in the Bible. Guess? Hebrews. Hebrews talks about faith more than any other book in the Bible. And we're going to go to chapter 11, which is the hall of faith. Okay? And in chapter 11 by itself, faith is mentioned 24 times. Just in chapter 11. So this is a really important topic, okay? So we're going to kind of get into the text and sort of unpack a little bit for you, and we'll go from there, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Now, what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Now, I almost changed the entire sermon because I was really bothered by those opening verses. And the reason why I'm bothered by those opening verses is that it kind of ignores the main message throughout the book of Hebrews. You cannot, the book of Hebrews, any question it asks, the answer is always Jesus. Okay? It's like if you're in Sunday school and they're asking you Sunday school, just say Jesus every time, and you're bound to be right 90% of, you know. And that's what the book of Hebrews says. Are angels great? They are. Jesus is better. Is Moses great? Absolutely. But Jesus is better. And this is kind of like the pattern in the entire book of Hebrews. So a lot of what is being talked about right here is the supremacy of Jesus, and that the things that we are hoping for are the future promises that have been accomplished through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Okay? Very, very important. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again from the grave. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is the one who's going to come back and vindicate himself and the word and the people of God. All of that stuff. It is talking about the Christian hope of the future as defined by the Bible, you know? So this is the conviction of things that we do not see yet is what this passage is driving towards. So Jesus is the central understanding of these passages. And as a Christian church, it's all about Jesus. That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow before him. And the book of Hebrews is constantly repeating that we may chase all these other things, that we might, you know, look at other things in life that's going to give us satisfaction, value, and all that stuff. But the surpassing greatness and knowledge of Jesus Christ usurps all of that. And what's beautiful, too, is that the book of Hebrews is talking to a culture that every day is offering sacrifices. Every day, animals are dying. Every day, there is another, you know, animal put on the altar to sacrifice for something that continues to be a problem in the life of people. And Hebrews reminds us that what Jesus did was once for all. Never has to be repeated. That when you claim faith in Christ, when you surrender your heart to him, when you become a believer, it's done. It's done. Jesus has done it all for you. Now here's what where's the time going? Wow. Here's what I want to do. This is what faith is not, okay? I've run into so many people. Last 2 weeks, God has just been pouring people into my life who are really struggling with this topic of faith, okay? This is what faith is not, okay? At least biblically, all right? Faith is not wishful thinking, okay? It's not a ticket to health and wealth, all right? It is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith, biblical faith, has substance, has a reality attached to it. Okay, I've told you many times. I used to do a Bible study with a number of atheists, and I remember us arguing, and it was like 6 months before we could come to a definition of what faith was, because they kept saying faith is just a blind leap in the dark, and I would not allow that. I said, there's no way you're going to get away with that, treating faith as just a blind leap in the dark. I think it was like 6 months before they finally relented and say, okay, crazy Christian. I finally figured out what CC meant when they were talking amongst themselves. Okay? CC, right? And it's not a ticket to health and wealth. Okay? I'm going to say it. Okay, you might have to blank this out of the live stream, okay? anybody that comes to you and says, you're suffering because you don't have enough faith. If God was ever to say to me, what's one Bible verse you would love to have added? Thou shalt slap the one who says. Right?
Yes.
Right? You know? I wish that was in the Bible. Gonna be slapping a lot of people. No, just I gotta have a little bit of levity, you know. But you know, to the book of Hebrews, faith is confident living in response to what God has made known to us. Gonna unpack this a little bit further. But faith is confident living. This is what the book of Hebrews is talking about. We may not see it. We may have not been there when Jesus was resurrected. We may not fully understand it, but I believe it, and I have faith in it. And I have faith in the promises of God because I know God's nature. God doesn't lie. God is good. And if he makes these promises, then I can depend on these promises because they come from God. Okay? So here's the next verse I want to look at. Verse 6, kind of jump a little bit in the context of Hebrews. I love this line, and it is impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. How many of you are pushing a penny up the mountain to get right with God? How many of you, if somebody said, God wants you to submerge yourself underwater and hold your breath for at least 5 minutes so you can be right with God, how many of you would do that because you would think that's the way to get right with God? But without faith, you know, you can hold your breath forever. You can, you know, do a miraculous thing, you, all that stuff. Read 1 Corinthians 13, the beginning of it, okay? And that's what Paul is basically talking about, okay? It is impossible to please God without faith. And if you want to say to God, your son doesn't matter to me, I just have faith, you're going to really upset God, okay? Or if you say to God, you know, I love your son, but I hate your church, that's a bit of a problem for God too. Okay? Ouch. Okay? Do we ever get it right? Do we sometimes hurt others? Absolutely. Okay? But the church is an important part of God's plan, an important part of why Jesus died. All right? Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Okay, let me unpack this verse. There's three things I want to bring out from this. Number one is faith precedes understanding. Okay, this is a really difficult concept, but God is more interested in our obedience than our understanding him. Okay? Sometimes, and again, I'm going to unpack this a little bit for you, but sometimes we want all our questions answered before we're ready to say, okay, God, I'm ready to step over the line. We want all our questions answered, evolution, debate, you know, eschatological debate, we want to get all of these kinds of things. The fact of the matter is, God wants you to believe in him right now. I'll tell you, I'm going to be really honest, okay? Been a pastor for 30 years. I was a professor for 27 years. I still don't have a few questions fully answered to my satisfaction about God. Is that fair? But I trust God that I don't have to know it all. In fact, I'd be a scary person if I knew it all. Wouldn't I?
Yep.
Be an absolute scary person if I knew it all. You wouldn't want to live with me. My wife has trouble living with me now, let alone, you know what I mean, right? Okay? But first you rely on Christ, and through time, more and more things become understanding. I'll tell you another thing, too. There's all kinds of things I wanted questions answered to when I first became a believer. And do you know that for the majority of it, I don't care anymore? There are just some things I just don't care about anymore. Yeah. You just have faith. You just trust God and say, Lord, I may not understand it. I may not have it all figured out. This is way above my pay grade, all of that kind of stuff. But I know that you got it figured out. And I'm going to just trust that you have got it because you're God. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Secondly, a life of faith pleases God. Do you, you know, have you ever thought of just your moments when everything seems to be just crumbling and everything just seems to not be going your way and you want to try to control everything and all of a sudden you come to this place and say, God, you know what we just talked about? I'm just going to be obedient. I'm just going to believe you. I'm just going to trust you in this moment. Do you know the smile that's on God's face at that moment? He is grinning ear to ear to hear that. And God's saying to you, he might be whispering it to you, he might be saying it through somebody else at church, but there's this communication that says, I've got this. And I hold you in the very palm of my hand, in my right righteous hand, and you're going to be okay. You are going to be okay. Many of us don't think that we're going to be okay. We say, God, I need to know now, right? I need to know right in this moment, okay? And again, the one question that almost never gets answered, which is the most important question for most people, is why? Why does this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did it happen now? Why did it happen to them? Why, you know, this why question is the one question that rarely, if ever, gets answered. And yet it's the question that demands that we stop and say, you know what, I have so much faith in you, Lord. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you right here, right now. Amen. Okay. Here's the hardest part of this particular verse. And there's a number of verses. But faith has its rewards. There is something about faith that is rewarding in this life. Now, I don't want to get into physical blessings or anything like that, but there's something that nurtures your soul. And I'm gonna go to the soul place because this is really important. If it's not nurturing your soul, if there's not something that settles in your soul, that's this kind of reward that in the midst of all of this, somehow I feel a peace, I feel a calmness. Everybody else is going nuclear around you. But there's something about God that holds you in that moment. And you can say, you know what? This is my reward for faith. When everyone else is just in panic mode, that I know that God's got this. Okay? Because that's the power of faith. Faith. This next, the kind of like summary point I want to make is faith is what gives us the resilience to not only survive, but thrive. Faith gives us resilience in our lives. And depending on what wilderness you're going through, there's something about faith that will bring resilience into your life. And there's going to be times where you're going to thrive and not just survive. I am fully convinced that God does not mean for us to just survive. He wants us to thrive and to thrive in a relationship with him so that we can experience everything that God wants us to experience. Okay? And here's the last point I want to make before we segue into communion. God has revealed more than enough of himself, his creation, his word, and especially his son, to give substance to faith. Okay? Especially his son. Jesus is the great revealer of our Heavenly Father. you know, the image, second person of the Trinity. And we have this great, great object of faith in Christ. Because Hebrews is all about the supremacy of Christ. So God has revealed more than enough of himself, of creation, his word, and especially his son. Anybody, okay, and this is a harsh statement, anybody that says, I still don't have enough to believe in God, is putting up a roadblock that is personal to them. The Bible has given us everything we need to believe and give substance to faith right here, right now. All right, I'd like to invite those who are doing communion with us to come up to the front. And again, if you're online and you're participating with us, I'm just going to head down to the floor here. And as we enter into our communion time, I want to remind you how Jesus, the night that he was betrayed by his disciples, by Judas, gathered the disciples together during this Passover meal. And through the Passover meal, he restructured it. Passover meal was based on the exile, the bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. And Jesus was now reshaping that for people to come out of exile of sin into the promised land, very figurative language of salvation. Okay? So I want to invite you, before we hand out the elements, we're just going to take a moment of silence. And I want you to ponder your relationship with Christ. I want you to ask yourself, is your heart open to him? Or have you put up a barrier of one kind or another? Have you kind of been discouraged from faith? Because faith is this nebulous thing. When we have just talked about the faith, as the Bible presents it, has substance to it. And it's not a blind leap in the dark. So we're going to take a moment of silence, and then I'll pray, and then we'll hand out the elements. And let's do that now.